This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody, let's go right to him. Kyle Krabs of Locked On Fins podcast just spent the week at the Combine. Got a lot of information. Deepest positions, weakest positions in the draft. As now you have a chance to kind of see everything and see what everybody's talking about. Give me a couple of your choices at 13 if the Dolphins stay at 13, knowing what they need, those four or five positions of real, real need that you might take.
Yeah, good morning, Joe. It's going to be really interesting because, like, a week from today is when the tampering window starts to open, quote-unquote legal tampering. Just call it a negotiation window, but that direction that they take in free agency – I think can nudge this position that I would choose to kind of favor where to use 13. I think a lot of the value is going to be on the defensive side of the football. I think between the pass rush group and interior defensive linemen like Kenneth Grant, potentially a cornerback like Will Johnson or Jadae Barron, there's a couple of linebackers and safeties as players who have really rare physical attributes at size, like Jahad Campbell from Alabama at linebacker, who can rush the passer in addition to playing on the edge, and then Nick Emenwori, who was a safety who absolutely blew the combine up at South Carolina from South Carolina this past week. I think there's a lot of options on the defensive side of the ball that would make a lot of sense, and you could use them as a jigsaw puzzle to fit within the pieces that you already have on that side of the ball.
All right, so I got to ask you, the first position you said was a pass rusher, a guy on the edge. You still have Phillips, Chop, and Chubb. If they keep those guys, and two of them are coming off injury, do you still make that a priority if you're the Miami Dolphins, that pass rush up that high in the draft?
I would say this, I wouldn't allow that to prevent me from picking one of those players if I was absolutely head over heels in love with one of them, because Bradley Chubb didn't play last year. You're looking at a potential cap casualty if they hold on to him, and if not, then next year if they restructure him, now you're talking about $36 million cap hit for Bradley Chubb. Would he stay healthy? Do you want to keep your eggs in that basket? And then Jalen Phillips is in a contract. You're coming off of two season-ending injuries in which he played half the season or less. So I think you look at the big picture, and there's no such thing as having too many good pass rushers. If that's the player that you are head over heels in love with somebody that's too good to be true there at 13, I wouldn't dismiss the idea that you should take that player.
I think a lot of people agree this cornerback thing is pretty serious, obviously, for coverage and all the different things you want to do and your blitz packages to get a guy on the outside that can do it, unless you think you can develop somebody that's still on that roster right now. So that would be – you have a couple guys, though, that you do like a cornerback that you think could fit that 13 spot?
Yeah, and I think there's a couple you could extend it down to 48, too. There's a lot of different body types at corner and a lot of different skill sets at corner that I think are really attractive options. Now, I do think this team should probably do something with Kader Koh, who is a restricted free agent, take advantage of that additional year of player control as a guy who hasn't hit 4 years of tenure yet. I'm not counting on anything from Cam Smith. piece of that young collection of names with Storm Duck and Isaiah Johnson and Jason Maitre, guys who flashed in the preseason. You obviously have Ramsey. If you bring back Kohu, I think you could probably go a free agent signing and then a draft pick that you would be comfortable with playing based off what he showed in college. And if you did that, I feel like you would have enough competition and a deep enough room of contenders that you could kind of let the competition sort itself out of that group. But that means I think you do need two corners when it's all said and done.
We talked earlier this morning about the Cam Ward show coming up here. The whole NFL is going to be down here, probably like they haven't seen in years, for his pro day coming up March 24th, along with all the other guys that didn't run 40s, his receivers and some of the other players. How you feeling about Cam Ward? What's the word on Cam Ward? It seems to me that he's kind of running out in front of everybody the way everybody's talking right now. Clearly the number one quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's definitely where the momentum is headed. And, you know, you've reached either misinformation or separation season. And I don't think the Cam Ward stock rising in separation from the rest of the quarterbacks is misinformation. I think he does have the right profile. He's got that confidence and bravado about him that you want leading your offense with a big-time arm. I think he's either going to go one or somebody's going to trade up to one and he's going to go one. That's kind of what I think is going to end up happening. You kind of get the sense Tennessee might like to get out of that pick. Seems like they have eyes for Abdul Carter, the pass rusher from Penn State. If they could facilitate a swap with, say, the Giants at three, or the Giants come up and draft, I think they would pick Cam Ward. And if Tennessee stays put and picks a quarterback, I think Ward would be their pick as well.
All right, bringing her back here, speaking of young quarterbacks you might draft, what'd you think of the group that did throw at the Combine?
I try not to put too much stock into the ball placement in that setting, just because you've never thrown to any of those guys before. For sometimes it's the first time you've lined up with a guy. So I didn't walk away from the Will Howard workout like some people did, just by jaw on the floor, like, well, you can't draft this guy because he couldn't complete passes to these guys he never threw to at the Combine before. But it's a group that I have a really hard time selling myself on anything before day three, if I'm being honest, just because of who I expect is going to be available when the Dolphins pick. They've got this big void from 48 to 98. Now, if I was a team that needed a quarterback, like, yeah, I'd take Cam Ward with the first overall pick if I needed a quarterback. But for the Dolphins specifically, that collection of talent that's probably going to be day two, I think Jackson Dart will be off the board by 48. So now you're looking at Quinn Ewers, Dylan Gabriel, Will Howard, Tyler Shuck is a 26-year-old rookie who had three season-ending injuries and played 7 years of college football. It's just that's not really what feels like an optimal usage of a day two selection when you're probably going to be picking a free agent quarterback that's got experience anyway too.
I got to ask you before we go any further, we've had so much talk. It's amazing, the Tyreek Hill thing. And a lot of people, I don't want to speak for you, I'm getting it that a lot of people want him out of here. They want to trade. What? I know how you feel. You and I have talked about that. What are you getting, though, from all your stuff you're doing on social media? What's the thought that you're getting that most of the fans want to do with Tyreek Hill?
It seems like it's pretty split. It seems like there's a pretty fair group who is frustrated with the team that says, I don't blame him. I'm frustrated too. And then there's seemingly the other 50% that has the shoe on the other foot. Just doesn't see a encouraging path forward here if you continue to try to make this thing work, and would prefer to get something for a player who, with what his compensation schedule looks like in 2026 anyway, the fact that he's on the wrong side of 30 now, there's just not a long-term pathway. And if you're making long-term decisions this offseason to try to gear up for your next competitive window, I think it's worth asking the question, is it worth hanging on to Tyreek Hill in what is probably going to be a transition year that you're trying to compete throughout?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're going to keep him. But I want to ask you about the other guy. The reason I brought it up, too, is so Jalen Waddle had 58 catches, 744 yards, and two touchdowns for Jalen Waddle. Two in 15 games. You got to get a lot more out of him. He is, I used to say he was the number one receiver. He has jumped way out of that club right now. What would you expect if we could make him more of a priority? Can he be a big-time number one receiver or not?
I'm not going to sit here and promise that he would put up 1,700 yards, but I have a lot of confidence in his route-running ability, his separation ability. He obviously has explosiveness. I think he's better getting off press than what Tyreek is. I think he's probably better at the top of the route. Now, Tyreek's linear, more explosive. I think he's a better vertical receiver down the field. It's just winning on those big shot plays down the field. But I do think Waddle, if he was in the position to be the feature player that got 150 targets, I don't think you'd have a question of whether or not he was a capable number one receiver. It's just he's coexisted in this ecosystem where last year I think the passing offense was kind of broken. When you saw all of the concepts underneath that didn't really push the ball. You know, this was a team 2 years ago that had this really robust push the ball down the field type mentality, and they were the exact opposite of that this year, and I don't know how much of that was by design. How much of that was they got into the season and kind of realized, hey, like, these bets we made on the offensive line didn't pan out, so we're kind of screwed here with being able to play the way that we wanted to. I don't know what it is, but I think all of that compounds into Jalen Waddle's profile where he's in the prime of his career. I know people are down a little bit because he's gotten banged up the last couple of years. But in 2023, it was big shots over the middle. He took a late hit against New England that got him a concussion and he missed the Denver game. Took another big shot over the middle against Tennessee. And then this year, unfortunately, just got rolled up on from behind in the run game in week 15. So I think he's a really, really great player. I think he could be a focal point of your passing offense if you gave him that opportunity.
All right, so I got to ask you because the offensive line always pops up. And I know you said before you think a lot of it can be done in free agency at that guard position. So you're telling me if – Chris Greer, and I agree, I don't think Chris Greer is going to take a pure guard with that high a pick. But what if the guy's a tackle guard? Because we're seeing a lot of tackles become guards, whatever it might be, shorter arms or people just think that they'd be better, the body's better structured for inside.
I wouldn't dismiss it if the right player was there. I think the player that would have made the most sense in that stratosphere would have probably been Armon Membu, the right tackle from Missouri, 330 pounds. He ran a 4.9. He's really explosive.
Wow.
I think he's somebody who, if he were there, would be the one that I would kind of stop and look at because I see some guard tendencies, but he's a really high-caliber right tackle. So you could ask yourself, okay, Austin Jackson, he's played inside. Do you move him? Do you move Membu inside and leave Austin? And then if he gets hurt, then you could kick Membu out. That would be the one that I would really sit there and stare hard at if he was on the board at 13 and have a hard time passing him up. But, like, Tyler Booker from Alabama has been a popular choice in mock drafts. I just don't think he's a phone booth guy, but at 330, when you watch him on film, he just profiles as more of a gap scheme player. And, you know, drafting that with what I don't think is any tackle appeal is – I'd be pretty confident that that's not the direction that they're going to go unless they end up dramatically changing some of the pillars and identifying traits they're looking for in running their offense.
Kyle, last question for you. Safeties. Deep class of safeties. I just feel like Dolphins are one of those first three picks will be a safety.
I would not be surprised. I think you've got good options at 48 and at 98. I think you might be able to get lucky and have somebody at 98 that in a typical draft isn't there, whether that's Kevin Winston from Penn State. I'm a huge fan of Lathan Ransom from Ohio State. He's a big-time hitter, really, really explosive tackler and really good in run defense. But has played a little bit all over the place for Ohio State, is comfortable not just living in the box. He can play some split field stuff. Jonas Sanker from Virginia is another name that at 98 or at 114 might be there for you. If you want a guy with big-time ball skills, Billy Bowman from Oklahoma is a little undersized, but he tested well. He's got some of the best ball production in the class. He just needs to clean up his tackling, and I think that might have him slide into the range where Miami might be able to get him with their third or fourth pick. So they will have options for sure. I think it's going to be an attractive day two, early day three target spot for them. But I would just say, you know, let's figure out how to get three more picks on day two so we can get a lot of these guys at other spots. Because if you do that, man, this is a good class to have it if you can get it.
Well, Mike and Chris will slide. We have seen him past history. He will slide if he sees value, for sure. But obviously, a little urgency on getting this thing flipped around and filling out this roster. Hey, bud, thank you. Kyle, appreciate you coming on.
Of course, guys. Good catching up with you.
All right, Kyle Crabbs, Locked On Fins podcast. Man, you got to check it out. That kid is really good at what he does. Ed Jovanovsky, pretty damn good, too. Panthers TV analyst, former Panther. Going to join us in this 8 o'clock hour. We'll talk about the Panthers, man. Here they go, off and running with a new defenseman. Maybe more on the way, and trying to figure out Matthew Tkachuk. Could he be back for the playoffs? Hopefully. All right, right now I want to talk to you about Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing, man. Trained as certified technicians, 135 trucks on the road, 35 years of business, 7 days a week. All I can tell you is this. I've known new Big Daddy Lenny. Used to go off Big Daddy Lenny a lot. Great guy to be around. But we lost him a couple years ago. But we got Eric, we got Mike, we got Chippy, all the rest of them still there, still family owned, all the same folks still working. Over the reason I bring it up, this thing was built by Big Daddy on great service. That guy, if you say, well, I got dinner on Friday night, you go, no, we need to take care of this and you have dinner. Just tell her you're going to be late, because that's the way Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing take care of work. Licensed, experienced plumbers, trained and certified technicians, 7 days a week, 135 trucks on the road. The reason is great service, man, with people that are really good at what they do. If you need a new water heater, you need a new air conditioning unit, doesn't matter, because we got them in the storage right now, ready to go. Ready to go for you, man. All you got to do is tell us what size you need. We'll come out. Same day installation is always a goal. Financing plans. But that warehouse is full of air conditioning units and water heaters for you. Still family owned and operated. Financing plans to help you out. They're doing it all. No excuses at Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing. You make sure you tell them Joe Rose said to give them a call. And tell him, hey, I heard he's really good. I'm related to Joe. Matter of fact, it'd be nice. Tell him you're either my best friend or you're related. 1-888-349-6922 for Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing.